Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Quizzer Podcast. Yes, Jorge.
Sala, homies. Matty Ding Dong.
Hello, Matty Dingley. Won't you come with me? I want to introduce you to a boy named Ray.
That was good. He's like,
How long did it? I literally came out of right now. I swear to God.
I don't believe you.
You off the I top know of you the dome that know shit?
I don't believe
it
you.
It rhymed and everything.
I swear to God.
One line about sucking dick in it.
I don't believe him only because I know who he is.
Yeah.
No. I feel like that was.
He's been writing that since last
week. I feel like that's fully rehearsed.
Nope.
Not only that, but I feel like he probably auditioned it in front of Hi Sophia.
I would tell you. That's part of my charm.
No, I think the mystique is that you want us to think that you thought of it on the spot.
That's Keith Crimson.
Really, you went full.
Yeah. No, I'll give you the process. I'm driving over here, and I was like, I should sing the Matty Dingley thing, but I didn't practice anything. I just planted a seed.
He's like,
and
I didn't
think
of
it again until right now, and it was like, let it come out.
Wow.
The seed was gestating this whole time.
Title of your sex tape. See, it works. Yeah, you're still eating in the fucking microphone.
What you gonna do the whole time?
He told you.
I was just giving my intro.
One more.
He warned you. He's like, we're going live.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Go ahead. Now put him away.
At least he can eat the blueberries quietly.
No, he still he still managed to mouth smack.
Unlike the cottage cheese.
If you tried them, you'd see how succulent and delicious they were. But no.
I'd love to try that fucking cottage cheese.
That's you, dude. No. That's
you, dude.
That's you.
That's literally you.
Oh, yeah.
We seen it.
I said that.
So how you morons been?
Good. It has been a week. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a stout that I brewed, and it's delicious.
You brewed it.
I did.
I'm sad that
I haven't brewed beer
it.
In like 4 or 5 years, and it was really fun.
I remember we were going to brew a Who Goes There beer.
It
was going to have like a lot of spice in it, a lot of hotness.
That's what this one is kind of benting towards. It's a chocolate stout. It's fucking delicious.
Stopped drinking beer and started brewing stout.
Well, this is a one-off. My brother-in-law, he's got a new neighbor that is like
that's a mistake.
A ridiculously incredible home brewer. His
that smells real
homebrew. Good. That's a great song, dude.
Chad Sexton. <Yeah.
laughs> Smell that. That smells real good.
And so he invited us to brew, and he asked us what we wanted to do. And
you don't like it?
That smells like booze.
That smells good.
And he asked us what we wanted to do, and I told him I always wanted to make a really good chocolate stout. And Boy, it's good.
You know what the ABV on that is?
I think it's like an 8%.
Yeah, 8%
DDD. 8% on the DDD.
I may not drink anymore, but I still love smelling beer.
We've got, I think, 6.5 gallons of it that we have.
Jesus.
I've only got like a growler and a half full right now, but it's real good.
Dude.
It's delicious.
That's pretty tight.
Is there an alternate name besides growler?
No. I've seen it called something else.
Yeah, no.
But it's similar to growler.
Yeah, growler. It's just why? You upset about that?
I just want to know. It seems strange that there would be that's the option. Like growler or else. Like you got a growler. It sounds like slang, right?
What would you call it?
I've got a little bottle.
How about
a little bottle?
How about a 32-ounce bottle?
Yeah, like that.
32-ounce
bottle
for your mouth.
Maybe containy?
But what if it's metal, though? I mean, it's still a flask.
We could call it a beery containy.
A flask.
Just going to put it in my mouth.
Oh, wait a minute. That's what it is.
What?
A growler is basically a flask.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like a round flask.
Shaped like a bottle. Meant for beer.
Yeah. Instead of for liquor, it's for beer.
I'm glad we figured that out. That's the Who Goes There podcast for
episode
331.
Good night, everybody.
Dope.
Yeah. All right.
So, how you been? What happened to your dome? Tell us. Dude, you didn't want to tell me.
Earlier. I rocked the shit out of my fucking head.
He's got this gash that honestly looks like somebody took a kitchen knife it was, and just stabbed really him funny in the top too, of the head.
It was last week that I was talking to Ronnie, and I was like, oh, dude, it's been like a year Great and spirit. A half since I've shaved my head. And I was like, I haven't like hurt myself yet. Motherfucker, as if I conjured it into being.
You did.
You did.
I was.
You put it in the universe. And I was the universe working like, oh, yeah.
on a dental mill, and one of my ass clown coworkers had opened a cabinet above my head.
So it's their fault.
No. I should have looked.
Oh,
clear.
See, you should have exercised personal accountability.
I know he should have exercised spatial awareness.
And so I got up. I stood up, and it hurt so bad. For 45 seconds.
It like, fucking looks like it hurt.
It was unbelievable. And I'm sitting there and I go, oh, fuck.
You're like, unbelievable.
I seriously thought I was like, I go, that hurt. That hit so hard that I was like, that's my skull.
Did you bleed profusely like a wrestler? It looks like you would have bled.
Yeah, dude, it bled for like an hour and a half.
Dope.
And I was working at the time.
But I mean, was it like a crimson mask?
Well, no, I got to it ahead. I got to it before
did
that.
Did you bleed but, like a stuck bitch?
But I was in an office working, and I'm trying to like fucking stop myself from bleeding. From breeding.
Yeah. I'm trying to stop you from breeding.
He did that too.
I'm just sitting there. I'm just fucking all these bitches and trying to stop from breeding. And at some point I had to stop and like, okay, I got to go look at this and see how bad it is. Cause I'm expecting to see my fucking skull.
Yep.
Yeah. Cause it was bleeding that much and it hurt that bad. So I get out there and first off, the piece of skin that got scraped off was stuck on the fucking cabinet.
I hope you left it there.
That's fucking dope. So, and was there hair? And everything?
Well, I mean,
there's not hair I mean, on there this fucking head.
I mean, there was little stubbies, but
well, that's graphic.
But
stubs on skin.
I go out to my van, and I'm looking at the top of my head, and I go, okay, it's not split open. It's just scraped like hell. So I'm like cleaning myself up, and I go back in there, and I pull the little plug of skin off of the cabinet, and I'm like a little, I'm like winded, like I hurt myself so bad that I'm like,
oh, maybe you got a concussion.
And so I finish up at that office and I go to my next thing and I talk to the fucking front desk girl and she goes, I got to stop you. Your head is so distracting. What happened? And I was like, oh, dude, yeah, I hurt myself so bad. Like you wouldn't.
And she's like, no, I mean with your hair.
And she goes, well, do you want to put a band-aid on it? I go, look, I tried putting a band-aid on it. It just looked more stupid than just having the cut on the top of my head. So, yeah, it was awful. It was awful.
You should have told her something dumb, like you had a finger growing and you had it removed.
Do not.
Been like, I got cucked by a cabinet.
I still don't think you know what that word means.
From the womb to the tomb, dude.
From the womb to the tomb.
So anywho, yeah, that was Tuesday, and yeah, that was gnarly.
It
was gnarly.
Hella fun.
But yeah, it feels good now.
Good. It looks pretty graphic. See, that's the difference between me and you. I would have been like, oh, I hurt my head. I need to go home.
Well, my boss was like, do you need to go home? I'm like, fuck no.
I would have been like, are you paying me for the rest of the day? Fuck yeah.
I'm Mexican.
This is work comp.
No.
I'm taking the
day longer.
I'm taking the day and the week.
You see these muscles, dude? These are fucking
day laborer. Those are day laborer muscles. Bro. I tried telling him. I gave him a compliment, and he couldn't take it. I'm like, you got them day laborer muscles, and he's like,
it's not really a compliment.
Isn't it, though?
I mean,
you got that training and endurance.
Coming from a colonial.
He doesn't look like he would be like he would be strong.
Asshole.
Yeah. But like,
you might as well have like a wig on and with the little.
I don't need a wig. I have this gorgeous mane.
Oh, a Colonel Sanders fucking
the
like,
little thing.
The coif.
You're like, oh, you have
the little coif.
Oh, look at here. Look at here. You look at here. You have a day laborer muscle.
You know, look. Oh, look at here.
That's you. That's you, dude.
You know what you look like? You look like you belong in a field.
I mean,
you are picking fruits only, in Fresno. I was gonna say, only if it's strawberries.
Oh, what do you pick?
You from the Salinas Valley, boy?
You pick up pecans? Oh, I do declare.
That's you, dude.
That's you.
Dude. I'll take it.
He's like, I tried to give this field immigrant a compliment, and he wouldn't take it.
He wouldn't take it.
So what you're saying is...
He shamed me.
I'm a Southern gentleman with high class.
Definitely.
He has shamed me, and I will punish him accordingly.
I will have him build furniture and not pay him for it.
God, Jesus Christ. Anywho, how are you, Rhett?
I'm processing all of that.
That was bad.
I am well. I'm well. I did not suffer any bodily injuries this week so far.
You're the only one.
And I'm the only one.
Never mind.
Turn around and tell you. Pineapple, pineapple, pineapple.
That's a rough sell.
What is that? That's
Melissa Etheridge. Melissa Etheridge, dog.
I'm not familiar.
Oh, wow.
Well, then you are familiar with Come
to My Window. Crawl inside. Way by the light of the moon.
Your fucking neighbors, when they hear us belting this shit out, they're going to be like, what the fuck are those white people doing? Soon.
I'll be home. I'll be coming home.
I was like, damn, this song's about a girl? That's tight.
Shit, yeah, dude.
Hell yeah.
Well, yeah.
Kind of. Who was the one that did the sad fucking animal commercials?
That's Sarah McLachlan.
She's fine.
Well, that's a totally different.
Yeah, I know.
That's a different sport.
Their names are close. Sarah McLachlan, Melissa Etheridge.
Sure.
They're both Lilith Fair.
Of the angels.
Speaking of female performers, I saw a lady named Julian Baker at the Observatory.
That's a dude from The Strokes, right?
Nah, that's Julian Casablancas.
Oh, Casablanca, one of my favorite movies.
I did like his
Frankly, solo album, I don't give a damn.
And Rhett Butler, that's Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, Brett Butler was a baseball player and a not funny comedian.
It was a good show.
And Grace Under Fire? Dope.
No, that was a horrible show.
Yeah, that was not a good show.
That was a horrible show.
Talk about views.
And, there was a band opening called Dead, and they kind of stole it from me. They were fucking...
Stole your heart, dude?
Kind of, yeah. It was cool because it's like this kind of throwback, almost 50s type thing. It's like real... Almost, I don't want to say low energy, but the drummer.
I don't want to say low energy and bad, but like
it wasn't bad. It was just that it's really sparse and there's a lot of space in the
neighbors, ladies and gentlemen, my fucking neighbor.
Yeah, they heard us singing fucking Melissa Etheridge, and they're like, "Oh, you want to make noise, bitch? We'll make noise.
You want to make noise? Make noise." All right, continue with Death. Dead.
That's some Dr. Dre.
It was a lot of fun, and so, like, yeah, I've gone to a couple shows in the middle of the week recently, and it's a nice change of pace in the middle of the week. Mm. And then I almost talked myself out of them both times, because I'm like, oh, it's tired, you know, but it's like they're over by 11, you know, so it's really...
Yeah, especially at the Observatory. They've got, like, an early curfew now. Yeah. Like, I was surprised.
Is that why?
Yeah, Thrice was done by, like 10:30. They're like, everyone needs to be the fuck out by 10:30. And I'm
bro,
like,
if shows could end I'm by...
Kinda,
like,
that's, I kind of like
if
it.
If shows could end by, like, 9...
They're starting to. Well, not 9.
That would be.
They're starting to end by 1 p.m.
if you could get to a show at like 6 and be out of there by 9, ugh.
That's some old.
No, even
shit.
Less.
Dude, it was tight.
If
like,
you could get in and out like 7:30, out by 9,
dude,
there we go.
I'm now in. We're talking. Yeah, just give us two bands.
Fuck openers.
No, give me the whole dick. Give me just, two bands that are good where they could interchange being openers. Give the first one like 45 minutes, give the headliner an hour.
That's too long.
Nah, because it's still an hour and 45 minutes. You're talking about an hour and a half. This is just another 15-20 minutes.
I don't want to wait for some...
I don't want to wait for our lives to be over.
I don't want to wait, honestly, right for a band now to break down and then the next band to set up. I want that shit to be done. I want in. Oh, we'll see the next band the next day. How about that?
And then you get motherfuckers like Amigo the Devil where all you got to do is pull out one goddamn guitar and it takes them 30 minutes.
Unbelievable.
30 minutes.
Unbelievable. It's doing coke the whole
get
time.
Get your shit together, Danny. I know.
It's disrespectful to the audience.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It is. God damn it. God. We're paying your salary and you're up here.
Could we have a little decorum, please?
Like, can we not take 30 minutes to do coke before your acoustic set?
Yeah, right?
Right. I agree with you. I'm with you. Yeah. Yes.
That's a dope-ass joke.
Dude.
I got one!
I'm going to keep insisting.
I'm going to go to a show tomorrow. Where you and going? I'm going for like literally an hour and then I'm leaving. It's going to be exciting.
Where? What show?
I'm going to Soma.
Oh.
Which is a fucking bummer.
That's a mistake.
But I'm going to go see Strung Out. And I'm excited about that.
So double mistake.
And they're opening for Pennywise, so I need to get the fuck out before Pennywise.
Triple mistake.
Whoa! Oh, yeah.
When they play Brohim, leave.
Have you ever seen Pennywise live?
Pennywise?
You're asking me if I've ever seen Pennywise live?
I mean, I don't know if that's an obvious yes or an obvious no.
No, I have seen some bands I don't like live.
See, so that's what I'm saying.
That could have happened.
I've seen Pennywise like at Warped Tour, but like... I'll give them one thing, like their fan base goes fucking nuts.
No, I, you know what, and two,
that's a big circle eight
open that
pit.
Shit back up, homie.
For it's the hot.
Circle eight pit in front of both stages at Warped Tour.
For the punk bands from that time period, I will say they do have that authenticity about them and
authenticiousness.
And their drummer is a very solid fellow. He is a solid fellow with his.
Sounds like he knows more Pennywise than he's leading on. Well,
I fucking, my Pennywise knowledge kind of starts and stops at the game Top Skater.
At Brohim.
You never played Top Skater?
No.
Back in the day, it was like the game with the skateboard and like the entire soundtrack
the
was game Pennywise.
With the skateboard?
It
Tony
was.
Hawk, dude?
No,
you
no,
a game
like
with
you,
a skateboard,
you stood
TNC
up,
Surf.
You
like
stood on like an actual skateboard.
720 degrees, dude.
720 was dope.
Back to the future.
Had that stupid skater
that
die.
Stupid
yep,
that joystick
wheel.
Thing.
Yep.
Fuck that thing.
Ooh, that sucked.
That was the worst fucking arcade game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so appealing because it looked like a Trapper Keeper. Like, I'm going to play.
Yep. It looked like Lisa Frank puked all over that fucking thing.
This is the... design I want to play and no.
And
it was
sucked.
A waste of course.
Y'all remember Wonderland?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I remember Marvel vs. Capcom
the best.
For fucking 6 hours.
The best, dude.
My mom would get us out of her hair for like 5 hours.
For
at
five
a time.
Bucks.
Yeah, it's like you got three kids. I think it was it $250 to get in or $250
to get in, and then you got $250 a bag of nickels.
Yep. And then they had like 40 free games in the back.
Yeah, the back wall,
it was
dude.
Dope.
Oh.
You know what else was dope? I got to fucking ring announce again this past weekend.
Yeah, I mean, moving on.
It was fun, bro. It was all death matches.
Talk about it. Talk about it. You took some good pictures. I saw that.
I took some dope pictures. Like,
are we waiting for the ring announcer resurgence arc of your life now?
I am doing a full show on December 18th. He invited me to come back, and I told him like things are going to have to be different from last time.
You mean actually getting paid?
I was getting paid. I was getting paid every show.
It
last
doesn't.
Time.
It doesn't count if you get paid 6 hours for $20.
Look, it was $40.
Bill O'Reilly. Not everything has to be a transaction.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, I will tell you this.
Okay?
If there's somebody making money in that motherfucker, then everybody's got to be making money in
but
that motherfucker.
But he's making having a good time.
See, and I would gladly...
And building self-worth.
I would gladly do it...
Overinflated.
It did, bro. People remembered me. I haven't announced in 2 years, and people remembered me, and they were coming up and talking to me afterwards. I would do this shit for free. Just not for somebody that treats their employees like that.
Well, you should challenge him to a death match and see if he...
Like an actual death match. One of you actually
like
dies.
Like in the parking
one of you
lot.
Actually has to die. He
does
a
maybe
lot of fucking coke.
Blindside him
so
when
think,
he's not expecting it.
I think
it.
All of my attacks would be futile.
Not if you blindside him.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
With pocket sand.
You have the element of surprise.
Because he has no idea it's coming. Yeah, just sucker punches
him. He mentioned it on a podcast, so hopefully
he doesn't know he's actually going to die. So he's going to think it's a joke up until the moment of like you know
of death
right. of death.
He will have exactly 1 second of clarity about his imminent demise.
Yeah, it was
before you shuffle him loose the
it was
mortal coil.
Dope. It was actually really fun. It was a night of whole death matches, so that was super cool. And I'm gonna do it again, December 18th.
I'm gonna do it again.
Goofy. Wanna do it again?
Goofy meme.
Fucking do it again.
Fucking do it again.
Nice.
I ain't gonna go blind. You know that song?
I go blind.
Yeah. Gonna do it again. Gonna do it again.
Gonna do it again.
Yeah.
I don't know that song.
That's a good. That's
how do you not
song.
Know that song? Gonna do it again.
Gonna get myself connected.
Okay, I do
the
know that.
Writing's on the wall.
I do know that.
And if you feel rejected, stumble, you might fall.
Damn.
Okay. That's pretty good, dude.
It's a dope ass.
That I want to play.
That shit has aged well.
That I want to play.
Actually, I was just watching Hackers the other day, and that reminds me of.
That's on Amazon Prime, and I keep like, dude, I'm so fucking bummed, dude. Like, I'm like, I'm going through Amazon Prime with,
hi, Sophia.
Weird. I'm like that. You want to watch Hackers? She's like, no. And I'm like, every time I say, do you want to watch something like Speed 2? And you're like, no, why? And then you watch it and you love it because it's so awful. And I'm like, how many times do you have to?
Why do we have to do this dance yet
every
again?
Time? Like Hackers is gonna be fantastic.
Hackers is so bad. It's fucking great.
You should just show her brain scan.
No, but that doesn't.
Ooh, I want to see. I want to watch that. That's what I want to watch. Dope. These movies I haven't seen in
You've
a while.
You've never seen Brain? Okay, I thought you were gonna.
I saw Brain Scan at Plaza Bonita.
Plaza Bonita.
Is that the last time you saw it?
Yeah.
So you haven't seen it in like 20 years.
Well, I don't know if Trickster's the dog or not.
Plaza Bonita's original theater was like underground, right? Like you had to like...
It wasn't underground, but it was like on the bottom floor and it was like this shitty brown and yellow. Like everything in Plaza Bonita was shitty brown.
Yeah. There was a little stairway that went
There was
down.
A small, yeah, like three or four stairs. And then there was just like this long brown hallway with like six or seven theaters. I saw Mom and Dad Save the World there. I saw Stay Tuned there. I saw fucking Gremlins 2 and Dick Tracy, and I saw Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves like 12 times there.
I saw Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves there and Star Trek 6 in the same day.
Dope. That's hella tight.
I saw The Rocketeer there.
I saw that at the one that was right next to Sweetwater. It was at Sweetwater Cinemas right across from Wonderland. It's now a church.
Oh, it's now a church. And the Wonderland is now a restaurant.
And I saw fucking Encino Man there. It was dope.
I saw House of the Dead at that theater, the Sweetwater. Ooh. Bro, it is legitimately the only movie I have ever walked out on.
I'm so glad that when I watched that movie, I saw it on DVD and not on
DVD.
Not in the theater, because I could actually rewind and make sure that I was actually seeing the launch pads.
Dude, yep. Bro, that movie is...
I was like, is that a fucking launch pad? Why are these fucking zombies flying?
Speaking of which, that reminds me.
Speaking of which...
So that fucking Resident Evil movie, holy shit.
I haven't seen any trailers.
Shit, man.
It looks horrible.
I jokingly...
go ahead.
Well, no, I jokingly said it reminds me of House of the Dead, but bro, it do.
You can do that for Patreon, right?
No, look.
He's not going to watch
it. Look, I have...
With all the garbage he watches...
Exactly. Yeah, but no, but this I have... Is, this is... This rarely... I have zero... I don't want it in my life. And I'm sick of people talking about Resident Evil. Like,
this is the guy that watched Unhinged like 8 times.
That movie's fucking
hilarious.
Yeah, but at least
Unhinged is an original thing.
Dude, there's been 7 or 8. How many Resident Evil movies?
11, I think, right?
Is it? Fuck. I was going to say at least 8.
And this reboot, right, makes me long for the 7 or 8 horrible other ones
this
already.
This is the one with 4 people. I saw a thing for it on like Spotify or something recently, which is bullshit because I have premium and I shouldn't be seeing ads on that shit. But
it looks monumentally worse.
I overestimate
it
a little
ones.
Bit. It's 8. It's Resident Evil, Resident Evil Apocalypse, Resident Evil Extinction, Resident Evil Afterlife, 7. Resident Evil Retribution, Resident Evil The Final Chapter. Just kidding. Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City.
Oh, that's the new one, right?
That's the new one. So
there's
yeah.
7.
I was just kidding.
Yeah, you know, you're right, though, because I'm a fucking sucker, okay?
If I'm you a sucker, like I said, Patreon fucked up in the head, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll get a grassroots movement of Patreon just being like Rhett, and Rhett will be like, the people, they're clamoring for it. We need to do it.
I'm just letting you know, out of the gate, I've already got my like laser sights to fucking hate this.
Bro, that's how I am about Last Night in Soho.
No, you're not.
I've seen a trailer, and I'm like, why the fuck am I going to watch this stupid fucking movie? So I'm already like that for next week's episode. So get ready.
What do you hate about Last Night in Soho so
the
far?
The trailer. Everything I see in the trailer, I'm
is
like, this is
like
not a movie for me.
The 7th Resident Evil movie or something?
I mean, if you mean I have zero interest,
by watching
I already don't
Last
see
Night
it,
in Soho,
yes.
You admit that you love British comedies.
Yeah.
By watching Last Night in Soho,
because
you admit
anchor,
that
right?
you love
right.
Resident Evil 7.
I didn't say I dislike British comedies. You did. Because I don't
That's
like
you,
Shaun of
dude.
The Because I think Shaun of the Dead.
That's you,
I think
dude.
Shaun of the Dead is overrated.
I think you're overrated. That's you, dude.
That's probably also true. That's but also I'm probably true. Also, at least in a few ways, underrated.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean,
you wouldn't know because I'm underrated. That's the thing.
That cock is pretty underrated. Thank you. I'll tell you what.
You should have said that ass is pretty underrated.
Nah.
The way it grabbed my
your ass is pretty well rated. That's a good dump truck you got there.
All right.
I agree with you.
What have you dumb fucks watched?
One of the best years of my life slip away. And Big Trouble in Little China, and that's it.
Okay. That's all you watched.
That's literally all I've watched this week. I feel so fucking busy, and I honestly, at the end of the day, couldn't tell you what I've done.
Well, look, there was Halloween.
I did nothing. Nothing at all. I did death matches on Saturdays. Halloween, I was home the entire night. Not a single trick-or-treater, not a single party invite, not a single thing to do.
It's hard to get trick-or-treaters when you live in the interior of an apartment
building. That's very true. I've never had a trick-or-treater, not once. I mean, like, since I've been on my own.
Get pulled into a fucking apartment.
Yeah, you've literally lived in hobbit holes.
The only place that would have worked would have been that place over on Ohio. Because that was at least on the street. But like, yeah, did nothing for Halloween. Been working every fucking, it's the working every night. That's the thing.
Everybody's like, working for the weekend.
Not you though.
No.
Nope. Nah, not me.
That's not you.
That's true.
I always thought that meant they were working for the weekend. Like their weekend was taken up with work. No. Not like they were working to get to the weekend.
Mm-hmm. But what a sad life either way.
Yeah. That's like a total anti-capitalist.
That's what song. It feels like. That's what the whole fucking thing feels like, is that I'm revolving my life around work and I hate it. After being out of work for a year and still getting paid and doing what I want to do and going where I want, when I want, having to like, my whole life fucking revolves around work. I work in the middle of the night. I get home. I sleep. I try to exercise and then I have enough time to eat. And
Matt works. I sleep.
That's it. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Now I'm like, hey, we got to rush the podcast so I can go to fucking work. Go to worky and do my job.
Work.
My job involves sitting and doing nothing. I see 30 people a night. They just walk through, scan a badge. I don't say anything to them. I've been reading a book, The Troop. It's good.
People want your opinions on books, from what I understand, and I think that's a mistake.
Go to patreon.com/MattyDingDong. I'll give you all the book opinions you want. There you go. I'll do whatever you want on my Patreon.
Matt defends books.
Bro, I mean, you're trying to make a point about a movie, and I'm like, yeah, the book's the same way. And you're like, yeah, but this is the movie.
The book's the same way like 15 times.
Because the book's the same way.
Okay, but I wasn't talking.
The book very much feels like half a book. It ends right in the middle where you're like.
Have you watched the movie?
No.
Okay.
He just doesn't get it. It doesn't matter.
Well,
I'm telling you.
He's being willfully ignorant.
No, I'm not. Like, I don't see the fucking difference.
Yes, you are.
You're uninformed.
You haven't seen the movie.
You haven't read the book.
And I don't pretend to read the book.
I haven't pretended to watch the movie.
So it's not just like, okay, that doesn't go with anything I'm saying.
The point I'm making is you're saying that the movie feels like it's half of a movie and it stops right in the middle of the scene. Where you're like, oh, that's weird.
Nothing to
and
do
the
with
book is the same.
Who
the
cares?
Book just stops right in the middle of something.
And you kept repeating it.
That's because you kept making that point over and over. Well, like I didn't hear you the first time.
I think ultimately what we've come to realize is when Matt reads like his one book every 5 years.
Bro.
That's the one he's fucking
I read more books
to.
Than both of you combined.
That's not true.
Listen to audiobooks. That doesn't count.
It 100% does count.
It does not.
Dude.
You're not reading things.
Dude. Do you know what reading comprehension is?
Yeah, I don't have that. Like, that was always my weak point.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing, you know? God damn.
Yeah.
If we're talking about book consumption per capita, you're fucked.
Hey, yeah, I don't have to understand it. I just got to read it. That's it. People are like telling me about this book I'm reading now, and they're like,
oh,
it's
so good. You don't even have to remember it.
Yeah,
you just do it meaninglessly.
By and large, I don't.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Well, you know that.
I don't do that.
You know that bit when you're reading a book and like you read a page and you're like, fuck, I don't remember what I just read.
Fuck
and you
got
to go back to the beginning.
And
that's this motherfucker, bro, with the whole book.
Well, pages I fucking wish. It's like ADHD every PhD and like, do I have it? It's like,
every paragraph.
Matter. Focus.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You still got to focus, bitch.
I'll be reading and like my brain will be somewhere else and I'll realize I've gone through like 6 pages and I'm like, I have no idea what the
so
fuck
I've, read. I've been yeah. doing, since I've been listening to audiobooks almost exclusively, I do this thing where I will listen to a book at night that I have listened to like hundreds of times. So I'm re-listening to. Well, the thing that's nice about it is that I can go to sleep to it. That's what I'm getting at. And so I've now listened to The Martian, I think, like
30 times.
It's like a lullaby for you.
Basically, yeah.
And it's, Jorge's lullabies are books.
That's fucking weird, I mean,
he reads himself to sleep.
He's a fucking English major. It makes sense.
That's pretty good.
It works, man. It's like podcasts, but except like I feel bad about the podcast because then I have to go back and re-listen. With rereading or re-listening to books.
Re-read.
That's me. I don't have to feel bad about it.
That's me, dude.
That's you, dude.
Rereading.
Let's see. You watch anything?
I watched, for Halloween, Sophia wanted to watch Donnie Darko.
That's a mistake.
It is not a mistake.
That's a great movie.
And the fucking movie also hit its 20th anniversary this year, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. On January 19th, dude.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God. You know what that means.
Synergistic, dude.
Damn.
No, and it was, it holds up pretty fucking well. And it brought back some memories, some not so good memories of the early 2000s. It came out in 2001.
You're an autumn angel, bitch, aren't you?
What?
Team
what?
Sparkle Motion, dog. All day.
Sometimes I doubt your commitment to Sparkle Motion. That's you with Jorge because you know, Friday. If his thing's not up, you doubt his commitment to Sparkle Motion.
I don't ever doubt his commitment to Sparkle Motion.
You fucking liar.
I doubt his interest in this podcast.
That's commitment to
the same thing.
Sparkle Motion.
We're Sparkle Motion.
Mm. Oh, see, now you're doing the thing where I'm fucking Newstead. Like, you're pushing me. you're pushing me.
I didn't even mean that. From a show perspective, I mean, me and him together.
Who died for you?
Either way.
Who died for you to be Newstead, though, dude?
Fuck.
Chris.
Cliff Burton.
Mikey.
Mikey and Chris.
Mikey. Well, no.
Also, I'm Trujillo. I'm from. Now we good.
Chris is Newstead.
And Matt is Lars. I get it.
So we killed off Mikey.
Okay, so while we're on this, I was thinking on the way over here.
Chris left voluntarily.
If this was Seinfeld, you would be Jerry, I think. I feel like I would be Kramer, but who is...
You wish you were Kramer.
Who am I going to be, fucking George? Who's the one that never goes to work, falls ass backwards into money, always seems to come out on top, even though I put forth zero effort?
Bro, you're like selling your own version of yourself.
Honestly,
you need to ask other people.
Wait, who did you say you were?
I'd say I was Kramer.
What did you say? Who never goes to work always comes out on top. What
falls
was that bullshit
backwards
right now?
Into money. I always have crazy fucking schemes I'm trying to get you guys to do. I don't plan anything.
I do not think that I'm a Seinfeld. I think if anything, I'm a Costanza because I'm highly neurotic.
So is Jerry.
Like that. Yeah, but no, I'm neurotic in a very Costanza way.
But you, like, do your job, and you pay your bills, and you have a successful relationship.
So does Costanza.
No, he doesn't.
What's the chick's
talking
name?
About? He's a marketing genius.
He goes through, like, 400 jobs in the course of the show.
Yeah, that's because it's a sitcom.
You're a sitcom.
That can happen on shows like that. But wait a minute. What's the chick's name?
Elaine.
Who's Elaine?
I'll be
Elaine. But I don't think I am.
Sucking all that
dick. I think I'm... You fucking suck that. And what's wrong with sucking dick?
Nothing, but you're the one that does it.
This guy's got a problem with dick sucking, everyone.
That's handled.
Only when you do it to me.
Oh.
Jesus. That's cruel.
That's cruel.
That's you.
I think I'm Kramer Elaine.
Kramer Elaine.
Oh, see, if we can mix, then yeah.
Well, you'd have to mix because it's fucking not, they're not, it, you know, come on, that doesn't apply. It doesn't apply.
All right, what'd you watch?
I watched Donnie Darko, like I said, good. Kiki's Delivery Service.
Dope.
It is. I had never seen it.
I never heard of it.
Miyazaki. From 89.
It's not in my top three and probably not in my top five Miyazaki, but it's still real. It's hard to rate those.
It might have cracked
all.
My top five. I thought it was really, really good. And it's about, it's a witch in training who sets up a delivery service during COVID-19. And then, I was watching it like, damn, they should update this live action. Dude, for COVID.
For a second, I thought when you said Miyazaki, I was like, oh, the guy who did Dead Souls, dude? Fuck yeah, dude.
You're like, oh, Takashi Miike?
It's Takashi Mike. Thank you.
Yeah, you always have to. Yeah, I don't remember.
That ain't me. That's Chris.
Okay.
You know, Chris, like, doing things just a little bit wrong.
I watched Drag Me to Hell, and
it's
a good flick. I like it.
It's
and
a good
also,
flick.
Do you remember that movie being PG-13?
Yeah, it rides that.
Mm. It rides a lot because it's gross. Mm. It's not gory. It's just gross.
Just vomit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sophia did not like it. She's like, "What? I'm like, "It's supposed to be goofy." She's like, Yeah. I was surprised too how many people were like, oh, what movie is that? I'm like, y'all motherfuckers never seen Drag Me to Hell? What the fuck?
Seriously.
Has she seen Thanksgiving?
Oh, she would not.
Oh, yes, she would. And she must. I've shown her highlights on YouTube, and it's about time to revisit those.
Every movie is a highlight, or every minute is a highlight. Grass.
Yeah, I wanna watch that tonight.
All right. Tonight?
The highlights, yeah. Oh,
okay. I got work. I'm going to watch that shit at work.
We lay down in bed and turn off the lights, and I'll be like, honey,
lay down,
sweetie, check this out. And I'll put some stupid shit on YouTube. Then I'll
turn off the lights.
Yeah.
And then I put on Thanksgiving.
Or that Disturbed fail video that you posted a while ago on Discord.
Which one?
He's like, oh, yeah. Dude,
have you shown her Creed Shreds?
Oh, dude, we watched Creed Shreds every day for like probably 3 months.
That's awesome.
And then we watched a whole separate Creed Shreds, which we didn't think was as funny at first. And then now that one's funnier than the other one. You have to get it's
well. Like, there's Creed. There's Mars Volta. There's King.
Microphone is on.
The mic is on. The Kings of Leon one, despite how bad.
Oh God,
the Kings
I love of that Leon one.
Is dude, it's so. Oh, good.
I've seen the Kings. That one's good too.
Oh man.
The best part of the Mars Volta one is when they have like the horn player and it's all. That's good shit.
That does kill.
Dog Day Afternoon. We watched. She'd never seen it.
Fucking that's a fun.
That is a fucking
good.
Isn't it though?
That's a good.
Have you seen that, Matt?
Nope.
No.
Shit is it's great. Great movie.
Great ass.
We watched. I watched the first episode of Midnight Mass.
Mm-hmm.
I want to continue it, but for whatever reason, I wasn't like, oh, I need to continue right now. But I started it real late. But I liked what I was seeing, and I wish I hadn't known where this is going because it would have been.
I didn't spoil it for you, did I?
No, I had looked. I was looking at stuff.
I online. Was very much like, this is my best That Thing movie ever.
I spoiled it for other people by saying what I said because I had seen it online.
Mm.
But so I'm sorry, and I can't take it back. It's already too late.
It's out there in the universe.
Yeah. We watched the new Wes Anderson movie. Went to the theater and saw the French Dispatch.
What? I see that shit and I'm like, great, cool. I don't want to see it.
That's no, dude. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay, dog.
Because I like Wes Anderson films, but I'm just kind of over the style.
Well, because you know we're going like I go to the movies every week in the theater, and after seeing this Wes Anderson trailer for 2 years almost, mm-hmm. I'm like yes. And she loves Wes Anderson because she has to.
It's right, like because it's she's a middle aged.
She loves Vampire Weekend and Wes Anderson.
Yeah,
we got to do it, and it could be worse. It could be worse. Let's be serious. Let's be serious, Jorge. Come on, let's be serious. Let's be fair, listeners. Let's be fair. She could like Static X and Rob Zombie movies, like some of you bitches. Okay, so now that that's a
that's a statement.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. No, I would
but like
never
seriously
that.
Though.
But seriously,
but what the don't, fuck? I mean.
No. But and I like Vampire Weekend. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Vampire Weekend, is there?
Me.
Seriously though, the movie, honestly, it's set. What's the thing where they have several different stories, Jorge?
Anthology.
That thing.
Okay.
It is a Wes Anderson anthology film of sorts, and
oh,
it's
weird.
It's got all his attention to detail. It's probably the most visually the most Anderson-y movie yet. The anthology thing doesn't quite work for me because the first part of the anthology is great, the second part is okay, and the third part was like interminably long and I almost dozed off, put it that way.
Hmm.
And this is in the middle of the afternoon on a Sunday.
Hmm.
And that's how the movie ended. So in my opinion, this is lesser Wesser.
Okay, well that doesn't sound like
it's not any, Rushmore or Grand Budapest Hotel.
Budapest.
Still though.
It's, I haven't seen either of those movies.
And then we watched, we're on season 11 of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Wow.
It's like 11 seasons too many.
You know what, though? I was looking up absurd and horrific news.
Type.
Okay.
Brazilian man jumps into lake to escape beach, only to be eaten by piranhas. This is a man has reportedly died after jumping into a lake in Brazil to escape a swarm of bees. Only to then drown and be eaten by piranhas.
So he drowned.
Well, imagine.
I mean, they probably were like nipping at his feet.
I'm running from bees. Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, I jump into a lake, and then these piranhas start fucking eating.
The piranhas.
Can you imagine, like, what's going through your head as just this happens?
Pain. Yeah.
Just straight up, just pain and the cruel indifference of the universe.
Right.
So that
he's just thinking to himself, I hurt myself.
I think today. The drowning would suck most.
And the drowning. Well, that's you'd be like hoping the piranhas finish the job.
I have heard people talk about drowning as like the most peaceful death. And I'm like, nah.
I've heard
people. Well, you know why else?
I've heard people say how fucked it is because, like, you. It's like, yeah, you just fall asleep.
Worst,
but you're
worst way to die.
Fully conscious the whole time.
Fire.
No, because fire, it damages your nerve endings so quick that you don't even feel like
that's you're. That's not true. It takes a.
That's not.
No, it takes a minute to get to internal organs.
It's not true.
It is.
It can take 30 minutes.
You ever been caught on fire?
Have what?
Have you ever been caught on fire?
And also, yeah, have those people that said drowning was peaceful, like, died?
Yeah, see, that's
because
the other thing.
How did you say it was peaceful if you're still living?
Yeah,
because
it's, like, supposed to be like you're falling asleep, but you're conscious and aware the entire time. Like, if you're on fire, your body's going to go into shock pretty quickly. You're probably not going to feel a whole lot of that.
I do know this about the human body. I know that when you are choking and or drowning, it isn't the lack of oxygen that gives your body that that sort of like, what's the word I'm looking for? That like, you know, when you're like holding your breath, that like desperate need to take a breath.
Yeah.
That's not a lack of oxygen, but is a oversaturation of CO2. So I could see a situation where like you take a lung full of water and your body's like, well, there's no CO2, so I'm gonna die. But yeah, dude, no, fire doesn't sound...
Neither one of those sound very good.
No,
yeah, or the being eaten by piranhas.
Yeah, no, I'm good on all that.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so I do want to bring up, not for any political reasons, but Fauci pressed over claims of funding for cruel puppy experiments. Have you heard about this?
I've heard something about...
Apparently, they're sticking beagles' heads in fucking mesh wire cages to let fruit flies eat their face off. And that sounds like some QAnon nonsense.
Yeah, that sounds not true.
But it's actually, like, apparently an actual legit thing.
But this is a Fauci thing?
Yeah, and I just wanted to revisit that, like...
Like, what's the purpose?
Well, it was something involved with FDA, and I would really like some clarification.
What does the FDA have to do with fruit flies?
I want clarification myself. And I just want to revisit that. Do you remember during the pandemic... And, like, we were talking about, like, what was the murder hornets? Uh-huh. And then there was, like, the fucking, like, the superhuman rats that were being bred in New York. So I just wanted to, like, revisit the horrific timeline we're in. That, like, that even this whole notion of beagles' heads.
All these government experiments are getting out now.
Like, I have the image of beagles' heads being put in things so fruit flies can eat their face.
Yeah, see, whatever happened to murder hornets? They just disappeared.
Apparently, it was it never happened.
Yeah, right.
A New Zealand city is taking its official wizard off the payroll. After over two decades. Yes, Christchurch, New Zealand is parting ways with its official city wizard after more than
that two wizard decades. Couldn't even keep its fucking churches from getting shot up.
Yeah, well, apparently. His offensive remarks about women and the local government's new tourism strategy reportedly spelled his doom. He's been on the payroll since 1998, receiving an annual salary of $16,000 New Zealand. So, to provide acts of wizardry and other wizard-like services.
That's tight.
That's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah.
What do you think of that, Jorge?
So, here's the deal with this Fauci puppy thing. Fauci is the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which has provided grants for medical studies using the dogs as test subjects, but the NIAID denied funding one particular project in which sedated beagles had their heads placed in mesh bags so sandflies could bite them. So it's fake news.
Your fake news.
Well, I'm just saying.
Who posted that? The CIA dude?
Yeah, the QAnon insiders, bro.
Good. Well, I, for one, hope it's real. Last, but not
least.
Well,
for one, if it helps humans, fuck the dogs.
Oh, no, 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 Jorge. And fuck humans. How about that?
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. A woman who pooped her pants halfway through a marathon and ran with it in her shorts until she crossed the finish line achieved a personal...
Crossed!
achieved a personal record. So she shit her pants. She just basically said, I'm going to shit so I can get, hit my PR.
She got
she might have just trusted a fart.
She got lighter and therefore could she could sprint faster.
She was carrying it with her.
Well, then I was talking to Sophia about it, and she said that this apparently is common among runners.
It is.
So they'll just straight up fucking just shit themselves.
Well, dude, but then
I'm like, yeah, well, this was apparently noticeable enough, though. This must have meant, like, to make national news, this meant that, like, she had shit fucking.
She might have just told them, too. Been like, I pooped my pants.
I just want to see the shit while they're running. You know what I mean?
There's videos of people. I want
to see watery shit go down their legs.
There's videos of marathon runners, like, shitting mid-stride.
Or, like, with their dope bloody nipples.
I almost got one of those today. My nipple got rubbed all raw.
And you know, just to wrap this up here, Tamara Torkelson's digestive tract is a well-oiled machine. Whenever she has a race or a long day run, her bowels automatically clear before she hits the road. Now, I'm reading that because that's the beginning of this article.
Mm-hmm.
So someone had to write this article about this chick fucking shitting herself while she ran.
Somebody did.
Like, her bowels are a well-oiled machine. It's like, can you imagine that's
just, the article that's written about you?
Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
Or that you have to write it. Like, I'm writing about this runner's bowels. That's fucking... And that's the news.
All right, cool. Well, we're going to take a quick break and come back to talk about a film that people have watched that's got actors and a script and a director. That people are paying for to go see.
And grotesque stuff.
All right, we'll be right back. Welcome fucking back to the show. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
Tell these guys about Patreon, dude.
I will, but I want to tell you I enjoyed that transition very much. I like that a lot more. But yeah, Patreon. It you know, it's a group of people who are getting Christmas
like that,
presents.
You like that
from
better than
us.
What?
Then the, hey, guess what? We're fucking back.
Oh, okay. Well,
I like that. Yeah, Patreon is a group of people that support the show. They're going to get Christmas presents from us soon. That's super tight. Anyway, things come up. We have expenses. We have fucking software and computer upgrades we need and all this other stuff. And you know what? Much like the NFL, doing a podcast is exactly like slavery. We don't get paid for this, and we work endlessly and tirelessly at this fucking show. So if we had a little bit of support, nowhere near 43 million, but, like, you know, if we had a little bit of support from patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast, we can continue to do this show, and we'll give you extra stuff like bonus episodes, exclusive content, cool Christmas presents, and
it's
our
like half,
undying gratitude.
It's like half communism, half views. I'm not sure where he lands on this one.
He's a centrist.
It's everywhere, yeah.
Dirty ass centrist.
I'm an agent of chaos.
You sound like a classical American fuck job.
Yep.
I wanted to ask you, though, are you feeling unsupported?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay.
Me too. Constantly.
Good.
Oh, we have a new Patreon. We have a new homie.
This is true.
I don't know the name.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you did your homework then.
While you're doing
James M. Fowl.
Is that it?
Yes. There. Welcome, Jaime.
Jaime?
That works for me.
That's James, right?
We can call him Jaime.
Yeah, that's Jaime.
We call Jorge George.
The Who Goes There podcast watched a little film called Antlers, directed by Scott Cuber, written by Henry Chison, Nick Antosca, and Scott Cuber. Starring Kerry Russell, Jesse Plemons, Jeremy T. Thomas, Graham Greene, Scott Hayes, Rory Cochran, Amy Madigan, Sawyer Jones, Cody Davis, Lila Marlowe, Jesse Downs, Arlo Haju, Dorian Kingi, Ken Kramer, Dendry Taylor, Andy Thompson, Giles Navies. Hey, Rhett.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Antlers, dude?
Well, this is one of those movies that's been delayed like a year and a half. And I didn't really realize until I started watching it that I had expectations. But I kind of did. I mean, it's produced by Guillermo del Toro. I like the idea of a Wendigo movie. I knew Scott Cooper directed it.
Bury the lead, bro.
Scott Cooper. Who's in the lead?
No, I said, you just, never mind.
Oh, I knew Scott Cooper directed it, who did, he usually does dramas.
Cooper!
He had a show where people hung out with him before. Do you know that?
No.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper. Mm-hmm.
Get the fuck out of here. Sanford and Son. That's what
Sanford
I want.
Sanford and Son fucks.
Yeah, if you want to talk about something good, talk about that. I want to hear about this bullshit. What? Oh, so Scott Cooper was an interesting choice to me to do this because he usually does these downer-ass drama movies. So I knew at least I'd be in for some downer-ass drama tropes with my yucky Wendigo stuff. And this movie delivers on both counts. However, this has a... I usually don't gripe about this, but the plot structure of this is fucking really, really dumb to me. There's not enough going on. It's throwing a bunch of themes at you. It just throws, like, here's some fucking drug epidemic, and here's some childhood trauma, and here's some addiction stuff, and here's some mountain folk, and here's some you're fucking with the ecosystem. And none of it really ties together or hangs together. It does have some really good fucking both practical and generated effects. I think the monster's really well designed. Like almost an iconic, possibly iconic monster design until it gets to the trash ass climax where
trash ass
some chick with a pipe. And it's like, well, it's supposed to represent her battling her. I know what it represents, but for example, Ripley getting inside a big fucking, you know, machine and battling a queen represents things too, but it's also like really badass. So like, also, like, you know, or like fucking Sarah Connor, she doesn't like beat this thing with a pipe. She has to be resourceful and get kind of lucky to beat the Terminator. Like, the fact that you just fucking killed this thing with a fucking pipe means that the monster sucks. And so you didn't deliver
movies.
You didn't deliver it as a monster movie either. So,
all right.
I was pretty honestly kind of disappointed. I don't hate the movie. I was disappointed with the movie, and it really has a dumb plot, which I'll get into.
Maddie Ding Dong.
Literally everything Red said. It's funny that you mentioned Ripley because I thought at the end I was like, oh, it looks like a xenomorph with a crown, like of antlers, tight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't fucking care about anybody. I felt like they just kind of kept flashing glimpses of where they were going, and they're like, no, you know what? That story kind of sucks. Let's do something else. Like they kept, you know, toying with the idea that she's an alcoholic, but like for no reason. Those scenes were largely dismissed, like, or able to be dismissed. Like, they had no weight on the actual story. I mean, you feel a little bit bad for the kid, but everybody else, like...
He did a good job.
He did. But, like, yeah. But I mean, like, you feel bad for his character.
And, absolutely, yeah.
But, like, also, he had that shit. He had it taken care of. And then these fucking old white bitches go poking their nose and play. Also, I didn't know this was fucking Felicity the first time I watched it.
Oh, yeah.
And then somebody, I think it was Rhett, was like, fucking Carrie Russell. And I'm like, wait, what?
Just
like,
another old
Felicity's
white bitch.
In this? Yeah, you know? And then she keeps fucking, like her brother was saying, projecting her traumas. And it's like, no, this wasn't a cry for help. This kid isn't being physically or emotionally abused. He's like... They're head of household at like 10 years old.
Whoa.
And then they're like,
yeah, wait, whoa, hey, yeah, whoa.
Wasn't?
So yeah,
he was good. He was good.
But
was.
The thing is, with those issues, that
Matt's like, look, he's white and he's downtrodden. He's good.
You said something real quick. It mentions things like trauma and mentions addiction, shows you little glimpses of things, but I don't have any emotional connection to it.
Yeah.
It just mentions things like, oh, look, she's looking at bottles.
Well,
like,
she's a really shitty piano player, too. And then they give you like the reasons why she's a shitty piano player. And I just don't care.
Here's the biggest thing, man. Like,
the biggest thing is her hair is not wavy like ramen noodles.
That's
anymore.
True. Yeah. We want that. We want Ramen Russell.
Do we?
Ramen Russell.
Ramen Russell.
That's the name of Kurt Russell.
Ramen Russell 2024.
I feel literally the same way. I think the creature effect, fantastic.
Dope.
The lore,
possibly.
It's okay. It's the same lore as Forever. It's like somebody eats human flesh and becomes a Wendigo. But in this, who eats human flesh?
Yeah. We'll talk about it. But God Almighty does a film that deals with like, okay, we got fucking childhood trauma. We got abuse. We got all these things. And then at the end, it don't mean shit. Mm-hmm. And that's what's frustrating because it's when you're dealing with these issues of, you know, this, I don't know. We don't know exactly what happens to Carrie Russell's family, but something happens. I mean, either her husband dies or something like that, right?
I don't know that she had a... Did she have a... Why did she move back?
That's
I don't
the
think,
thing.
Okay, yeah. I don't think I ever got
They don't explicitly say, but that's kind of the tone that I got, that either her husband died or he cheated on her and she had to, like, come back home. All of this stuff is really, I think, evocative in terms of what it's trying to do. Like, her having to come back home. She's forced to come back home.
Yeah, premise-wise, you're fine.
To a situation that she feels uncomfortable in, and her brother who's kind of oblivious to her pain. But then also, at the same time, she's kind of oblivious to his dealing with their father. Like, all these things are all really, really cool concepts to explore in this space. But I think that it gets so mired in, like, we got to show you the monster, right? We got to show you a monster and this glowy fuck, that we really can't spend too much more time exploring these things. When this movie ended, dude, like, I was looking at runtime, and I was looking at, like, holy shit, like, they really, really rushed this ending.
Mm-hmm.
One of the few times I'm going to tell you, add 30 to 45 minutes to this movie to flesh out these characters. I
want to just blow your fucking head off.
Well, I wanted, yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of shit they could have taken out. And then
there's nonsensical stuff, I agree, but there could have been, you're right though, because it, you're both right, and I agree with both of you. Because, you know, because it...
Both cut the movie and extend it. Leave it the exact same length.
And I'm going to let you finish.
It mentions stuff without developing it with the character moments.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, it has a lot of nonsensical plot developments that take too long to get where they're going in the name of supposedly generating suspense.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really do that. Like, this plot is like, okay, so they're doing the slow reveal of what's, you know, of what exactly the situation is at the kid's house, you know, and they're teasing that, which I think some of that's effective. And again, some of the gore and the grotesque stuff and, like, the transformation scene, I'm like, oh, fuck, this is pretty good if they keep this kind of stuff up for a minute. I'm like, Jorge's going to like this part. And then I'm walking out of the movie, like, he better not just like the movie just because of that, because the rest of this shit sucks. No, but anyway, then it's like the teacher or the principal goes and checks the house. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Breaking the law left and right, too.
Well, I'm just saying, this is how simple it is. Like, principal goes, checks the house. They wonder where she is. They go check. And within 30 minutes, we're at our showdown with the monster.
Right.
You got to have more. You got to have more to it, dude. Like, well,
Unfortunately do this thing where people act like total morons the entire film.
Yep.
And here's the thing. Given that we have never lived through a Wendigo crisis, we don't know
for yourself,
how we would fucking act, but I certainly wouldn't, like, oh, this door's open? Let me walk in.
Wait a second. Yeah, there was a lot of
A second. There's noises, growling noises.
There's blood on the walls.
Let me go further. Yep. I'm going up the stairs. Oh, shit, there's a lock on the door. Let me open the lock. Oh, let me go upstairs. Okay, let me go upstairs. Oh, shit, I'm being eaten. Fuck!
Yep.
Okay, next scene. Oh, we've got dead people. Well, let me go into this fucking mine. Let me go past the bloody stains. Let me get to the fucking the denouement of this movie, because, like, we can't have a clean ending on this fucker. We actually have to have a surprise stinger at the end of this bitch. And it's like, bro, like, please, like, somebody be intelligent. Somebody.
Well, it's very, that's the thing, because it's lazy in one sense. And then trying really hard in these other senses.
Yeah.
But it's not trying hard to make sense. Whose story is this? Is this the kid's story or is this Carrie Russell's story? Because it's
both. I mean,
and I think that's a problem. I think they don't focus enough on any one specific story. And, like, I don't know who we're following through.
Ronnie brought up a good point after we finished. She watched it with you. Yeah, we went to the theater. The theater.
Did you get the handy?
Like half.
Did you give her the
handy? Half whole. Okay. No time.
Okay.
Hey, as long as he gets his, that's all that matters.
That's fucked up.
She brought a really good point where she's like, look, I understand that, like, she is the product of abuse, and that's what, like, creates this this drama for her, right?
And she has like a house to go to, home to anytime.
Where she wants to gravitate towards this child because he, you know, she senses that he's abused also.
Right.
And she goes, well, it's a bad character motivation because ultimately, like, she does these things for selfish reasons to, like, make herself feel better, not necessarily to help the kid.
Which is,
well, literally at the end of the movie, instead of trying to help the youngest kid, she murders him in front of his little brother.
Well, I mean, at that point, she's right. There's no helping that kid.
I mean, she don't know that.
She's a glowy demon.
Just because she's somebody who can, analyze physical trauma doesn't mean that she's somebody that can analyze medical conditions.
That moment where she says, I know how to diagnose abuse. And I was like, oh, what the fuck?
Dude, that whole interaction.
I was way the fuck out on that, dude.
Yeah.
You got a moment.
So.
Talk about it.
No, well, you do bring the point at the end with the kid getting killed. Number one, props for them killing the kid.
Yeah.
Off screen.
Still,
props.
Still revoked. Still a painful scene.
Cat props.
Potentially, that could have been heart-wrenching, like horrendously tragic scene. But because there's no emotional resonance with the rest of the stuff, it just hits like, wow, that's kind of fucked up.
But if the kid would have killed his own brother, if the kid would have like had that realization that like he's been feeding a monster all this time and his brother's going to become that monster and he killed his own brother, way more impactful.
Well,
otherwise, it's just Native Americans have been fucking tripping out about Wendigos for hundreds of years, and then some fucking great white bitch savior comes in and kills them.
That's the quote of the century right there. Native Americans been tripping out about Wendigos.
Okay, hold up.
Yep.
Hold up.
Hold up.
Because what you just mentioned is textbook enablement. Like, he's feeding a monster, and he's going to keep doing that because it's his brother. Yeah. Okay, so that shit does go on. So I'm not the metaphor that they're doing there, and it's like, well, it's different. It's like, no, it's not really different because it does cause similar or intergenerationally more damage than this Wendigo, by the way. It's just not as like overtly violent.
Yeah.
Okay, so the metaphor is not lost on me there. It's just not particularly profound. And again, I don't have any emotional connection to it because they don't spend enough time developing any one of these characters except the kid. But the kid thing... The kid is just like, oh, poor kid. And we don't get much farther than that.
Yeah, they don't really, they don't really develop him beyond
that. Well, what's interesting too is that like when we get to the point where you kind of find out like what happened to the dad, I'm like, oh, he's kind of a good dad. Like despite his drug issues.
Well, that was actually important they showed that.
Yeah.
Wait. So what happened to, because as far as I know, the dad was cooking meth.
Yeah.
And then he's a Wendigo.
Right.
So there's a Wendigo in the cave, but like the lore of Wendigo is when somebody consumes human flesh, they become the Wendigo. But now the Wendigo can turn people by touching them.
The lore of the movie is like, different.
Honestly, the most frustrating thing to me is that, so here it's twofold. So A, either explore the Native American lore or don't have it at all.
Yeah, they just bring the Native American into info dump.
That's what I'm saying.
Please do not have a Native American person for a split second in this film be like, and that's what it is, Round Eye. And I'm like, oh God, like what? Like what have you done here?
Well, because
like,
it doesn't jive well with the meth lab and this stuff and the you know, it's, that's what I mean. They're throwing a bunch of themes to show like that it has stuff on its mind.
I half expected like them to be like fire, water, bad, and it's like, oh fuck, like what have you done here? Like if you're gonna explore this Appalachian thing, which I'm super into, I love. This like the, you know, the hill people kind of shit. But
of course you do.
Of course I do, because I'm a hill person. I think if you're gonna try to introduce the Native American stuff, like explore it fully. Like let's go into that realm a little bit more, other than just like, look, dude, I've got a book.
See, but the problem is that's the whole movie. The whole movie is like, here's a bunch of tidbits that we could explore, but we don't. We're just gonna give you like just the tip, and it's not enough and it's unsatisfying.
Well, because it's ambitious with what it wants to do with these themes, and I think the thing that bugs me is they could be tied up into something cohesive, because those things, for instance, those hillside communities do have drug epidemics. Yep. And that kind of stuff and abuse is intergenerational. And that does tie into, like, intergenerational shit with, like, how people interact with the land and with the natives. Because it goes, like, it does all interact. But if you can't tie it together cohesively, it didn't focus on its character.
I don't want to say that, like, look, dude, I wanted to have, like, a shaman there, and I just wanted a little bit more exploration of that universe, for lack of a better word. Like,
well, you're right.
I just think if you're gonna base a movie,
why even have it as a Wendigo movie?
Then
you have to shoehorn in the ecological thing with, like, a wide shot showing, like, the damage that the water
which is beautiful, like, literally a beautifully shot scene.
Great shot.
But ultimately, you're like, oh, I get what you're doing. You're just showing. You're info dumping me visually.
Well, and I even told Sophia right there. I'm like, that's a beautiful shot. I said that's a beautiful shot. It's like showing us, it's info dumping us visually, which is, like, cool, good job. That's what the shot's for.
It had a few really nice shots. Like, the kid kills the skunk and he's walking under that tunnel and it's just him backlit. But it, like, on the other side of the tunnel, you could see, like, the really pretty, like, changing of the leaves. Yeah. But everything else was black around him. Like, that was really fucking cool. It looked like he's been in the darkness and he's, like, finally going towards the light. But, of course, he's not. This is just the beginning of the movie. And he's bringing a skunk. But also, I think this kid kind of enjoyed the violence. Like, I think he had some deep-seated, like, mental shit going on. Like, he's probably a little serial killer in training, to be honest.
Well, earlier when you were saying he wasn't he is.
I never said he wasn't traumatized. I said there was no signs of him being physically or emotionally abused.
And that brings up what you guys were talking about earlier, which I got kind of...
Because George even said earlier that he was, like, a good dad.
How can you tell when someone's too far gone? And you know what I'm saying? How do you know when you can put something out of its misery? And here's the thing. I do think the film at least makes the right choice with that. You can't. Because someone could have a horrible environment and come through it. Someone could have a fine environment and turn out like Jeffrey Dahmer.
What I meant by saying that he was, after all said and done, a good dad, is that I think that, like, his base instincts were to protect his children.
Well, yeah, like, that's why...
about the kid, though, at this point.
That's why he ate that old white bitch and left the other kid. I mean, the other kid was there, and he didn't eat or attack his...
Well, he locked himself. He's like, don't fucking open this.
Yeah. And that, I mean, meanwhile, he's fucking cooking meth and taking his kid with him to do it. But
Well, and that's, again...
But that's the reality, right?
Like, yeah, well, it's social norms. Look, he's trying to make money. It's a way to make money. And also, you can be an alcoholic, because that's legal, and pay your rent that way. So I'm not worried about, like, dude, I mean, you have to objectify this shit. Like, if someone cooks meth, that doesn't mean they're, like, there's plenty of addicts who are good fathers, and there's plenty of people who are not addicts that are shitty fathers.
True.
So, it at least shows that.
That's you, dude.
What pisses me off about the beginning of this movie, though, is that's the opening sequence. They're cooking meth and getting preyed on by a Winnebago. Or a Winnebago.
Winnebago. This movie would be so much tighter.
If it was it would be like Titane.
Yeah,
and you would hate it.
No. Because the car was a nothing in Titane. The car is sentient.
Kerry Russell ends up fucking the Winnebago.
Yeah, the Winnebago is sentient and it descends upon
her. How do you know you're sentient? That's what I'm saying. I don't. Exactly. So
you're the one that pretends like you know
things. The car is sentient.
And again, I said it earlier. So Ronnie and I... When we finished the movie, I looked at my clock, my watch, my phone, and I go, dude, it's 7:15, and our showing was at like 5:15. I go, dude, that thing went by in a flash.
Where the first time it did, the second did time it? It did not.
Well, yeah, I think so, because it
you had a weird experience. That
front
with that movie.
Two thirds, I think they're doing some really interesting things, and then you get They're mixing up the really cool creature effects, and it's like, oh, he's going to get hit through the wall, isn't he? Fuck. Twice. Great. Yep.
That was super. Cool, huh? With the CGI?
Yeah, and I'm like, fuck, man. Like, I'm kind of sitting there, and I'm like, damn, dude, you've got this really cool, you've got this cool monster. You don't have an ending.
Yeah.
See that, but that's the whole thing. If you got third act problems, you got first act problems. And this movie had problems throughout the entire. Like, so the kid's bully. Like, he's bullied at school, and that never really goes anywhere. He has a couple encounters with the bully at the school. The bully's
largely forgotten for 45 minutes and then happens upon him in the forest.
Oh, you put shit in my backpack.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, hey, pussy. And then like, oh, Wendigo's there. Cool. Problem solved. Like, the whole bully thing could have been avoided. Like, you could have taken out all of the 5-10 minutes with the bully and then just randomly had the kid walking home, encountered some homeless guy in the woods, and had the Wendigo attack him. We didn't need this extra time with the bully.
Oh, so, yeah, see that, again, thank you for mentioning that, how contrived that is. Like, it happens to kill the bully.
Yep. Like, was like, it following? It happens was it to following be in the boy? Like,
and I hate that. I hate that kind of shit, dude.
See, and that's what I don't get. Like, was that the Wendigo that was originally in the mine? Are there multiple Wendigos? Was that his dad?
Well, yeah, like, dude. Yeah, we thought the same thing. So,
and who ate the first guy?
we were leaving the theater, and it was like, okay, so there's three Wendigos. So there's the initial one. There's. So the dad.
There's the one that attacked them in the mine. There's the dad, at least.
And then the kid is very clearly infected with the Wendigo juice.
Yeah.
And then the brother's then infected by the Wendigo juice. Yep. So there's a potential of four.
I would assume there's a Wendigos bunch more at one time. Like, sometimes the Wendigo just
which is fine.
Horns
which is,
people
which
and is, sometimes it eats
is,
people.
Which is totally cool. We don't know the exact lore of the Wendigo. It's fine. I get
that
it.
That bugs Matt because he likes to be consistent with.
I get it that the you know if the Native American lore doesn't exactly have like well once you've cleared the heart you've got to make sure that you kill everybody who came in contact with the Wendigo whether it was through his teeth or his horns. Was he headbutted by a Wendigo? That may also mean you're infected by the Wendigo juice. Like all that stuff. I think is your. If you've fallen into the trap of it, of like you're digging into the lore, that's a mistake.
Do you have to be penetrated by the Wendigo?
I don't think it was physical, you guys.
I mean, like Carrie Russell, why?
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
It goes. This is where it goes full like
retard,
kind of full metaphorical to me. And actually, Sophia, hi Sophia, I already said that. Pointed out to me. She says she thinks it's because maybe the brother is the. Hasn't faced the stuff. He hasn't dealt with it. He hasn't acknowledged it. The entire time, he wants to basically just skim over the stuff. He doesn't look at it.
So you're saying there's no Wendigo? It's just a metaphor for trauma?
I'm saying that last scene, they're trying to be fucking... There is a Wendigo, but they want it both ways. They want to have it as a literal metaphor and a metaphorical fucking monster. Like, they want both things going on simultaneously.
And yeah. I feel like Carrie Russell...
I think you could.
And this is coming from me. I'm all for like this thing of modern horror, in a sense, to a point of modern horror being aware why we have horror, of exploring this. But now it's hitting critical mass where it's happening in Halloween Kills. It's happening in Antlers. It's like, you need, if you can do it, do it. If you can't, stay the fuck away from that and let it speak for itself.
Yeah.
This movie can't do it.
Yeah.
That Halloween Kills movie couldn't do it. Like, give us Michael Myers and some suspense and slasher and stop trying to, like, you don't need to explain the mythos of the boogeyman in Halloween. I don't need you to fucking symbolize what the Wendigo is. It's already inherent what the Wendigo symbolizes.
It's by itself, it's a symbol. You don't need to symbolize the thing.
Yeah, stop, like, being meta about it because...
No, it's Facebook, dude. Stop being so Facebook about it.
Stop being Facebook about it.
Shut up, I gotta change my Instagram name and everything.
Facebook Red.
That's FB Ree.
You should just change your name to Facebook Rat.
I'll just put Ree. Okay, no, but you know what I mean? I'm hitting like this. I don't know what the next evolution is for horror past
so
that.
So we watched the film not that long ago, but that long ago, The Ritual.
I was going to say, I like this movie a lot better when it was The Ritual.
Which explored concepts, similar concepts. Where,
and had a great
but
creature.
Better.
Well, yeah. I
think the creature was better.
Because I think
this creature was pretending to be turkey. He was wearing this dude's face and like I'm pretty sure he fucking gobbled.
That was Ronnie, dope. Ronnie lost her fucking mind. She was like, why did this guy,
because
this fucking Wendigo, after days of being the Wendigo, finally decide to rip off its face and be like, this is the real me, dude. This is like, this
gobble,
is the...
Gobble, bitch.
Because they said, look, this is the climax. Now it's time to take your skin face off.
Yeah, the literal gloves that are coming off of my face.
Yeah, it's all dumb.
Yeah, dude, I was...
They were just like, we don't know what to make of what
it rubs up
like.
Badly against the seriousness and
what
solemnity
what was funny about
movie.
It is that, like, in the moment, I was like, oh, dude, that's sick. And then she goes, yeah, what was the point of that? I go, fuck, you're right. God damn just, it, this movie sucks. Yep.
To see fucking someone's face slide off. That's why. That's why, and that, we should talk about that. It does the gross parts pretty well, I think.
It does.
Don't yeah. you think?
The gore and the creature design is cool. There's some great shots, and that kid is a pretty decent actor. But aside from that, fucking Fat Todd from Breaking Bad, didn't need him.
Meth Damon. yeah. That's the thing, dude. This kid, great. Great job at emoting. You know,
glad you didn't say the Pacino line there. That would have been bad. Right.
This kid, greater.
No. Well, and the, you know, those as a father.
Here he goes.
You know, those moments that like you see this poor child fucking like you know in the nurse's office and his shirt's
that
like
poor child. Poor slut.
I'm struggling to kind of like you know not have a moment there because I'm like, dude, if that was my son, I'd be losing my shit. Like if my son was getting fucked up by a bully, I would be losing my shit. And I don't know that
George is like, I'd eat his ass too, dude.
What?
Eat his
ass?
His dad fucking ate that kid.
Oh. I'm sorry, what?
No, but not eat his ass.
He ate his ass.
Not his ass. Like eat his
ass. No, you put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Meant like he'd eat him. Not eat his whole ass.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Just as long as you're not eating the ass.
Only. Yeah, just like, leave just the ass.
If the Wendigo just ate the assholes, you're like, what the fuck?
That would be great. It was just all... And it shows him sucking out fucking sphincters.
Like a spaghetti.
That's all it
just
eats.
Just left with like a goatsy hole.
This is the third ass eating.
It's a fucking 100-minute long advertisement for Gape Gloves.
For goatsy. Gape Glove. Yeah. Gape.
Let me see. Yeah, man. Gape. It's a mixed bag. And I think that largely, I think it kind of fails. Mm-hmm. Creature effects. Fantastic.
Yep. Cinematography,
fantastic. Yeah. Like those shots of like, you know, Appalachian neighborhoods with like fog coming in and the mountains in the background. I'm like, yeah, dude, I want to live there. Like, I want to be there.
I want to be.
But ultimately, I think Keri Russell was kind of a mistake. Mm-hmm. I think having a really well-known actress in that spot
I didn't even recognize it was her.
I wouldn't have minded if it was just... And also, the script is really bland. Like, the dialogue doesn't pop. There's you know what I mean? That goes with the plot stuff. The plot mechanics and the script, the dialogue just doesn't... I'm not, like, face-palming the whole time with the dialogue, but I'm also... There's nothing memorable.
Yeah, there's no face-palm, but it's just boring enough to lose...
And yet, it's like, why do you gotta watch the movie again, Doug? Because like, I thought I forgot everything, but it just turned out nothing really happened.
Yeah, it's a very thin plot, dude. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of story, meaning there's a lot of like stuff. There's a lot of character backstory and history.
But there's not even a lot of stuff to keep straight. Because I watched it again today, I'm like, no, I didn't really forget anything.
Because there's
like,
no plot.
There's like little things, like you know, the drawings and stuff.
The little things.
The kid's got a monster there. They go looking for the lady. They talk to the Indian dude, and now she's gonna kill him with a pipe.
Yep.
That's not enough.
And then hands down,
she should be a fucking Wendigo because she had blood all over.
Worst part. Where it's like, it's a fucking monster, dude. Like, you shouldn't fucking be able to hit it with a pipe and fuck it up. But I know that they're doing it. It ate and it fucking is weak and it's like...
I don't know, dude.
That stuff sucks.
Kill it in the end. Like, give me an ending. Like, give me a good... Like, again, I'm thinking about Terminator. Like, I'm trying to think of... Imagine seeing that the first time in a theater and she's running from this transformation she goes through from being this waitress... to killing the Terminator at the end, and you believe it because like it's chasing her through this thing that's crushing things,
right?
And she hits the fucking button. You get what I'm saying?
Are you leaving?
I gotta go.
He's gotta go right now.
Get the fuck out. Me and Red will finish this shit up.
Go ahead.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Yeah. So yeah,
bye, Matt. Much like Antlers, I'm gonna leave you unfulfilled.
Oh, that's a mistake.
Just make sure you fill somebody.
What? I fill you up.
Not me. Not me though.
My head greasy?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
It tastes like a peanut, though.
Okay. That's pretty good.
Peanut oil.
Yeah.
Thank you, baby.
Well, yeah. This is new.
This is new. And it's good. It's good to embrace the new. But, yeah, I'm glad. See, I was coming over here, and I wasn't sure, like, Matt, I remember Matt saying he watched it Telluride, and he's like, mostly good. And then, like, with you, I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's going to feel the same about this thin-ass fucking bullshit.
Yeah. Again, not to belabor the point too much, but I do think that, like, in terms of lore building, that's where it suffers the most. That, like, yeah, we've got a Wendigo. We don't need to talk about it. You know, like, either give me nothing or give it to me, like, more fully fleshed out.
Right. Concentrate on that.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, if these themes come in, to use the word, organically during your writing process and from the stuff naturally,
yeah,
incorporate it. But you don't, I swear to God, it's like they fucking, I'm like on a whiteboard and I have, oh, we can put this and we can put this
well,
and we can
yeah,
put this.
It almost,
and then they made the screenplay.
It almost feels like they had this movie done and then they were like, well, what monster has antlers and lives in the woods?
Oh, fuck, you did it. I would have left here pissed off. There's a long history. look, before anyone gets mad at me for saying this, I don't like the name of this movie. When I watched it, because even when I remember seeing the first trailer, I'm like,
oh, dude,
it's antlers?
Yeah.
Because it's got antlers. Now, an obvious point of reference here is Jaws. I gotcha. It's a shark.
Yeah.
You called it Jaws.
Yeah.
But Jaws delivers. Well, it delivers on that fucking ridiculous name by just being fucking Jaws.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. So, like, when we were leaving, Ronnie was like, what's the movie about? And I'm like, don't worry about it. And then when the fucking title card comes up and it's just antlers, I was like, fuck, they've let the cat out of the bag.
Like, for real. Like, why? I think it's a dumb name. That's a dumbass name.
Yeah, it's not good.
No, because when you watch this movie, if you didn't know the name of the movie, and then let's say that you found the name of the movie afterwards, after you've seen all these themes of intergenerational trauma and abuse and drug addiction and blah, 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 and it's like antlers. Like, that doesn't fucking go, dude.
Yeah.
You thought of... They might like have, Guillermo del Toro's like, we should do a Wendigo movie, call it Antlers, find me a guy.
Yeah. Or like, the title card comes up, abuse.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, right? It's like, it's bad.
Yeah.
Well, anywho, Matt's left.
Bye, Matt.
Bye, Matt. Yeah. He's got to go to work. Fuck.
Yeah. I think we squeezed a good one out of this, though.
We did. More sauce for the goose.
More sauce for the goose.
All right. Well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for episode 331.
I think so. That sounds about right.
What are we watching next week?
Next week is Last Night in Soho, which Matt has
last
already
Last Night
decided.
In Soho makes the heart man humble.
Yeah, Matt has already decided he is not looking forward to it. He hates it based on seeing that trailer, which is perplexing to me. But also, I did want to mention it's only 91 days remaining until Moonfall.
What is Moonfall?
It's Roland Emmerich's new movie about the moon crashing into the earth. And you must watch the trailer.
There's already been a movie about that, right?
Did Roland Emmerich do it?
No, but
it will this. Yeah, I think they're already.
All won. Right. Well, that's the Goozer podcast. We'll see you next week when we talk about Moonfall.
Moonfall.
All right. Bye, idiots. Bye. Good night.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.